Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about something that none of us, me or my two guests, are. Though, at times in our life, I'm sure we've identified as them. We're going to be talking about failures. And hey, you know, long history of failures, successes get all the press, right? But failures are the things that pave our world. Everybody's a failure at some point. And it's good. It's good to fail because at least you tried. And other things you can find on a mug or a pillow at Pier One. Our two guests this week are returning guests. You might remember them from our episode discussing music, where I put a question mark in parentheses after the word music because we didn't really talk about music that much. We talked about all sorts of things. But they are both the hosts of the spiritual predecessor to this podcast, It's a Thing. So first we have Michael J. O'Connor, who also wrote the theme song to this show. Mikey.
That's true.
Mikey, who yes. I can call you. How are you?
Yes. You. I'm good. How are you? Yeah, so good to see you.
Oh, man. Another day in the greatest country in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just like,
sure.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We're holding on to that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to
keep that one.
Just going to cling to it until.
Great. Great.
Until our fingers break off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, pal.
Our other returning guest is the lovely, the handsome, the caged and wild Jared Horney. Jared, welcome back.
Hey. Hi, pal. Good to
see
you.
Good to see you too.
Okay, the caged and wild. It makes me sound like I just released my third volume of stand-up comedy where it's titled
Uncaged.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah. That's so good. Uncaged. That's exactly what it would be. Oh, Lord. Hi.
In between every set, it's just you and Jim Jefferies fighting in an alley.
Well, I wish, because that would imply that I at least was at some level of stardom.
Yeah.
In my trash comedy, but I'm just happy to be with three of the funniest people I know.
Yeah, including you yourself,
and of course,
really,
and of course me. Yeah,
yeah, of
I'm
course.
I put you on every single list I ever make. It's like it's Bill Cosby, Louis C.K., and Jared Horney. That's my top three comedians.
What is this list of?
I just love the observations, you know.
It's
just so sure. Yeah, that's the only thing I think of. I hear that list.
Those three definitely have a lot in common.
Kyle Kinane on his most recent one said, "Hey, being a comedian was cool for a minute there. And then someone just had to take their dick out, and now it's all you know."
Yeah.
Oh man! Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, no, thank you both for being on. This is a joy as always. It's just plain good to see you. I gotta say that. It's just good to see you both.
Yeah.
It's 2021. We're all alive.
What?
I mean,
yeah.
We're whatever we can call this continual, the perpetuation of existence.
I like perpetuation. That's yeah that's good.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, we persist.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about failures. And as creative people, we're all very accustomed to failing and to feeling like failures, I think. So I just want to start with the opening question by asking, what does failure mean to you? Mikey, what does failure mean to you? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I think it's a common feeling because to me, it's often when something doesn't work out as planned. Now, and I think that is good. And that's why I think failure is good, because when things don't work out as planned, that's generally when you start to think about things differently. And I think that failure is a necessary step to doing something correctly, not just in like, oh, I'm going to, you know, learn how to draw and do a bad job so I can get better. I think it often just opens up a new way of thinking about something.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I mean, perspective is gained from, I mean, at least if you're curious about what you did wrong, how did I fail?
Yeah.
And then you think differently about it. That's failure is huge.
Jared comes to mind too.
Jared, what does failure mean to you?
It means Mikey is what.
Yeah, well, sorry.
That's good. No, this is good. This is the kind of trash talk we need on the show.
Yeah. I 100% agree with what Mikey said too, though, about how it is. It's just a process of learning. Nobody goes through life and just absolutely gets every single thing that you write. And I think also it is a construct. It is an expectation. It's something that is culturally created and deemed. So in other words, I think that I feel like social media has not been great for that, because a lot of times we'll use of course, Facebook as an example. Someone says, "Oh, I can control the perception that other people have of me and my own success," right? The opposite of failure.
Sure.
So I'm just going to spit all that out there. You as a user log in and you're like, look at all these amazing things all these people I know are doing and succeeding at. I'm not, therefore, you know, I'm a failure, or I, you know, fail this and that. And it is a product of, can be a product of the expectations of, not the expectations, but the actions of others sort of create that scale. And it's not a fair one to put yourself in. In other words, the short version of that, I think it's subjective. Also, like Mikey said, I mean, it's an essential tool to learning anything or doing anything.
Well, and I think it's interesting because it sets up a dichotomy, and you mentioned, like, it sets up success versus failure. And what often happens is success tends to be this thing that people think they just did, right? We have a sort of cultural issue with, like, people who don't have to face a lot of challenges feel like they're successful because they manage to succeed without having to work very hard. And that creates problems of its own, where, you know, failure should be always, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's a badge of courage. That's like, that's genuine cred for having lived, because you don't, like, there's so many things I've failed at. Like, I've failed at getting published by, like, major publishers. I've failed at relationships. I've failed at friendships. I've failed at, you know, making an appointment sometimes. Like, there are these just gradients of failure, but they're all good because they teach you something, but they also show you something about who you are, and they create a curiosity, right? If you fail, you have empathy. You start to understand. You start to go, oh, hey, you know, if shit's hard for me, I wonder if it's hard for other people. If it didn't go right for me, I wonder what doesn't go right for other people. And that's valuable to the creation of empathy. And if you don't have that, it doesn't work. Like, succeeding is kind of shitty, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I love it. Because I feel like I constantly am putting things out and trying things and they don't work out. And I don't know. I wouldn't have it any other way. I really wouldn't. Because then it's also like, it also helps you learn whether or not you actually want to do something.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, like, oh, I tried this thing and it didn't work. Well, and okay. Like, and if that's it, then you probably didn't really want to do it.
Yeah. In the first place.
Yeah.
No, it's a good point too, where it's like, how much of your time and energy are you willing to put in, you know, presuming it's not some Sisyphean task of you're like, it's never going to get better. No, like, you'll get there eventually. How many times are you willing to trip and fall before you do it? And so I suppose, I don't know. It's sort of, I mean, like you just touched on too, there's a period of time where, like, failure being celebrated, right? Or in other words, I guess, removing the stigma of it, of which there's so much. Yeah. It's a negative word. It's a negative thing. It's demonized almost, I think, at least in the United States, to the point where it's almost like, instead of an ambition to get better making you strive, it's rather a fear of failure. So it's fear driving your trajectory as opposed to genuine ambition. And that's all backwards. It's warped, and it's not the best way to do it, I would think. Easier said than done, though.
Oh, sure. I mean, it raises an interesting point. One of the things that I posted on Facebook recently was, and it's just like a tweet cap, but someone was saying, hey, you know, a lot of the negative language around, like, a lot of the anti-socialist language comes from it's predicated on the idea that everybody's just going to be lazy if you give them enough to live.
Right.
And I've always held personally that, like, no, I think a lot of people have a lot of talents that go completely untapped and unexplored because they go, oh, well, I'm going to die if I don't just take this shitty job that I have to take to survive, where, you know, you could have so many minds exploring so many interesting things between science and art and everything else. I mean, my entire life, including this podcast, is littered with what could be deemed failures. Like, what? I have a podcast. This podcast has 120 some episodes at this point and about 10,000 downloads. That's not a success based on the metrics of, like, you want to make a business out of this that's going to make you money. It's not a success. It's a failure. Right. My webcomics, right. Failure. All of these things did not perform to the extent that would deem them successes. But to Mikey's point, like, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm much happier just doing the shit I like to do. It's better to do the things you want to do and not worry about it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I also think I'm more afraid of succeeding than there's a certain relief to failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there really is.
Oh, the idea that at some point you'd be just overwhelmed with people on Instagram being like, hey, your music sucks because you're so successful that, like, thousands of people love you. But of course, this means that thousands of people hate you.
Other thousands. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to deal with all that flack. I mean, that's terrifying too. Yeah.
Really, if you consistently fail and you keep doing something, no one can touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're invincible. Like, it's actually kind of remarkable how that is. And I think also to what Mikey said as well, being afraid of one's own potential is a very interesting thing. Like, being afraid of success, being afraid of this, what if, like, what if I can do this? And then all the rest of these fears are just, they're made up. They're things that have not happened, but they are certainly functioning as something keeping you from doing whatever. So
that's why I don't model. That's why I've never tried.
You would blow apart the fashion industry is what would happen.
I can't afford that kind of thing in my life, you know?
Sure.
It's too much stress.
Yeah.
Well, the exception, however, in 2011, you were the calendar boy for Handsome Boy Modeling School's year calendar, but then it's sort of like, hey man, you know, can't help it. Sorry.
That was for charity.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Yeah. That was for an orphanage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an orphanage that only takes in good looking kids though.
Yeah.
Like the ugly ones, the ugly
orphan
ones,
models.
Sorry. Yeah. 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 Orphan models. The others just function in this sort of psycho Dickensian nightmare that they just fling them into. Yeah.
They work in the kitchen there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all wear masks on top of that. We just don't want to see where the food comes from at any level, whether it's the meat source or the people making it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Because a lot
six
of times.
Six in one. Yeah.
Although honestly, like meat source, we should start that business. I think I don't know what the business is yet, but I think we need to make meatsource.org.
Meat
and that's
source?
Our company.
That's a great band name.
It is a good band name.
Meat source.
Well, I mean, we would be saddled though with and inundated, I feel, with the question of the hot dog thing. You know, where does it come from? Now we possess that forbidden knowledge. Right, in these tomes that we would keep in a candlelit, you know, library somewhere where no one touches it, because you can't know that. No human can truly know without spiraling off into a Lovecraftian hallucinatory nightmare. So.
Right, just a babbling madman going anuses, lips.
That's just San Francisco, pal.
Yeah. That's true.
This is how Meat Source becomes a Scientology / Nixium style cult.
Right, right.
It starts starts as a business and a band, but it quickly becomes a cult. Where we're just, welcome to Meat Source.
Yeah,
welcome to Meat Source. God, wait, what's the podcast about?
Happened? I don't
know. Tune in every 20 seconds and just
keep skipping until you find something you like. Great job. 1 point each for the opening question.
Oh, that's I forgot. With
fantastic,
you're getting scored. Thank you.
And now we're gonna jump into round number one. So, Jared, do you have a vague idea about failure to launch?
Yes, I do.
Talk about it.
Okay, when I think of it, I think of it's the cover of the movie, and it's this thing where the guy or the gal, is standing up straight. And by the way, these are only heterosexual so far in this world, is the guy or the gal standing up straight. And the other one is leaning on them with their back to them, kind of looking at a saucy look at the camera. You know, excuse me, if it's a woman, it's a saucy look. If it's a guy, he's got the expression of like, having been told by his girlfriend to get tampons, and he's in the tampon aisle at a store he's never looked at him before, and he's just like, what did I get myself into? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's that. And it actually, there was an article, organized all the covers of all the rom-coms that had that specific layout. There's a lot of them, like more than you would think. But really what it stands for is it is in fact a tie-in with Viagra. It's the second part of it, you know. Yeah. It's you can get the shuttle up, but how do you get it to really take off?
Yeah, right? you got the rocket to the platform, but
yeah, are you getting to the moon? Curiously enough, a round off is trying to get to, but it's slang. It's actually, I should add, it's internal slang at NASA, which, you know, I mean, that's I freelance there, so I actually need you guys to not. Don't say that. Don't put it out there, because if
I'll bleep it, I'll bleep out this section.
Thank you. Yeah. Then my high paying part-time job at NASA is over. So
I'm auto bleeping. Sorry.
Thank you. That's fine. Thank you. That's fine. That's my answer. That's what I'm going to say.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Your description of the cover is impeccable. Mikey, failure to launch. Do you have a vague idea? Anything to add?
Yeah. I do. Failure to launch is the thing that happens. It happens in every kind of boy's life. When your dad says to you, he says, hey, tomorrow I have the day off and, you know, we should go to the park and launch some model rockets. And you're like, hell yeah, I love those. And so you get really excited. And he says, hey, but remember last time what happened? You put the little igniters in the engine the night before. He says, don't do that, because there's really no reason for it. But now that he said it, you're like, I think maybe I should. And so the night before, you put the little igniters in there, and then you get to the park and he's like, what happened? Why did you do this? And he's just, you don't know how to explain why. And it's like something that like, you it's because he said not to. And then, you know, there's something about it that you couldn't get it out of your mind. So you put the igniters in there, and then they kind of broke off when you brought the engines to the park, and then they don't quite work. And then your dad's yelling at you. And, you know, then he says, this is why we don't do this kind of thing anymore. And then you just get in the car, and then you go to Burger King, and he tries to make it up to you, but it's kind of awkward now because he yelled at you. And then you just kind of never do it again. That's failure to launch.
Plus he also took you to Burger King, which is like, that's like a backdoor neg. Yeah. You're close. I'm taking you, I'm getting you fast food, but I also fucking hate you because we're going to Burger King. So
I just wanted there to be like a 20-second long pause after that one where it's like,
wait, that is it though, right?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing like the silence between a father and son when something just isn't working out. Nah. And it's just like, cool. Oh, dad, you're going to turn the radio up? All right, cool. I'll stop talking.
Yeah.
We're good. wow. Yeah. Hey, great job.
All right.
Failure to Launch is a film from 2006 with Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey. Depicted as described by Jared on the cover box. Matthew McConaughey's like, hey, you're pushing me forward. And Sarah Jessica Parker's like, hey, you got to grow up and be a man, because we want to date and be married and stuff. Mm. And you want to live at home. 35-year-old Tripp still lives with his parents.
Also, his name's Tripp. Fuck you. Like,
yeah, just with two P's. With two P's. The only thing I have to say about this, though, is it's a movie in 2006 that thought it was being funny about, a 35-year-old guy still living with his parents. And then the entire economic system made that happen.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's exciting.
I thought that was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but I'm just thinking that those are the same movie.
It's Matthew and I believe McConaughey that has and Kate Hudson.
That is, and Kate Hudson, yeah.
Yeah.
Or as I called it, How to Lose My Attention in 10 Minutes.
Woo! Boom! Nailed
that,
it!
McConaughey, you son of a bitch.
Oh, you know he's listening too. That's going to get him right between the eyes.
He's like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Can we give Mikey a million points for that
We're going to give him a million spiritual points.
All right.
I think that what's amazing is I really thought you invoked Gene Shalit in a powerful way right there.
Well, I've been called a young Gene Shalit before.
Yes.
So 2 points each for failure to launch. Okay. It's time for round number two, Mikey. Do you have a vague idea about the fail whale?
The fail whale? Yes, I do. I'm going to say that I believe that the fail whale was a ride at Six Flags Marine World in Vallejo, California, which was a water ride where actually it went under the water, and that was like the big, you know, the ride. It was like a log ride. It went underneath the water, but it did it for a full 26 minutes. And so, I mean, it was only open. I don't know what they were thinking. It's one of,
and to be accurate, also, I think something important to mention is it's not a capsule that the people are in.
No, oh
it's
no,
like
no,
an
no.
Open.
It's open.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
open.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
it's,
so
it's a log flume sort of situation. But there's but they have people on hand wearing scuba gear to hold people into the ride.
In case your seatbelt fails and you bob to the top in some freak accident, they want you to get that full 26 minute underwater experience. But it was only there for one day for whatever reason.
I don't know.
Probably, you know, West Coast, you know, wimps, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's
they just, were never clear. They were never clear about
just
why.
Just a bunch of liberal bullshit. And so it was nicknamed the fail whale.
All right. Great, great. Jared, the fail whale.
There was one of the first videos that circulated on the at the time new internet was of that whale getting blown up on that beach with a large amount of dynamite.
Oh yeah, in Oregon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Before that, this was not the first time this had happened. And in fact, they had had the tech at the time to film it and put it on the internet, but they absolutely didn't, because what they did was the whale had washed up, but it had washed up into basically the beach of a mid-sized coastal city called Sycamore. And so it was not isolated on some beach. It's in the town. And so, you know, we talk about failure and we talk about learning and how sometimes it takes a lot of drafts before you get the right idea. Right. So I would say for the video we've probably all seen at some point, you know, that whale is out a ways. It's away. It's on a beach. It's away from a lot of private property, public property, citizens. However, in the case with Sycamore, they actively blew up the whale. They eradicated the town, and they said, "We're not putting this on the internet." So, really, version one was the fail whale. That's why the second one, by and large, was effective, and in fact, why they filmed it. They were like, "This one's going to be good," and they did it in conjunction with a mass mourning for the 3,238 citizens that were in Sycamore, of course, who all immediately were vaporized. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that so many people were just hit with white hot whale viscera, and then just immediately melted to the ground.
Well,
a la Fallout. Anything.
Yeah, well, they melted. What happened was they if it hit them, then all their skin fell off, and they were like a skeleton in the same pose for a moment. And then all the bones tumbled down, and of course there was the accompanying xylophone sound when they all crumbled over. Yeah.
Truly, our modern day Pompeii.
Indeed, if you will. But the thing is, like, and hey, man, politics. You know, you try and look this up on Wikipedia, they've scrubbed the whole thing. They want no one to know. But I don't know, man, read a book sometime. It's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to look around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, great advice.
They say that's one of the better ways to go. Hot whale. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always wanted to go by hot whale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe just get right in the blowhole and just
be ready for it. I do think that at your funeral, it's sad he died, but come on.
It's kind of funny.
How do you talk about that, right?
Yeah.
What happened to him? Well, you're not going to. This is.
I mean, heck, like, he had a whale of a time, so.
One point from you, Nate Rigoglio.
Excellent. Yay. I get a point.
I took it from, away. It's from
I got a negative
from
point.
Your score.
All right. Well,
thank you, Mikey.
Good.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm not going to win now for sure.
Hey, not with that attitude, killer. It's failure is a learning process. Right. So keep it up. Who knows where you'll end up? What if Nate wins this episode? How rad would that be?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You're both exactly right. The fail whale was an icon, a splash page that was put up by the now defunct social media site Twitter whenever they were over capacity.
Oh, really?
They put this thing up where they're like, hey, a bunch of birds are trying to lift a whale. And that's funny because that's like us trying to monitor the amount of white supremacist violence that we're
can't do it
happen. Yeah, just
gotta let it through.
Can't handle the weight, you know?
Yeah.
And the whale was white, which is obviously an allusion to Moby Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
White whale. Oh, yeah. Mikey, I wish I had one of those. I love those. That's my favorite brand.
The Crystal Geyser?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not too sweet.
I like it because it's like a 40.
Thanks, Mikey.
That
should be their ad.
That to your hands.
It should be. Yeah, that's what's not to like.
Yeah. Are you a recovering alcoholic dirtbag? This'll kind of scratch the itch a bit.
Yeah. Darian, if you're actively going to meetings, why not balance a tip for thrill on the edge of drinking, but not?
So 1 point each. You both did great.
All right.
Hey.
And now we're going to play our first game. We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And this week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, we're playing Failed Inventions Edition. So these are all inventions that happened and didn't succeed. So I need you to tell me which one of these inventions you're going to fuck, which means, you know, you're into it. Which one you're going to marry, you want to stay with that invention forever. And which one you kill, you know, push it off the cliff.
Sure.
Just watch it fall.
Slowly. Blow it up on the beach.
Yeah. You'll blow it up on the beach like a real fail whale. So, right. Mikey, we'll start with you. Your options are a portable record player, which is a device that existed in the early 80s that was like a Walkman, but you put a record, you put an LP in this thing, and then you try to listen to it on headphones while you walked around, and you would just scratch the shit out of your record, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
New Coke is your second option. The apparently atrocious tasting new formulation of Coca-Cola. And then Google Glass. Way that you can tell someone's a douchebag without having to ask.
Man. Okay. So I am going to fuck the Google Glass because I feel like that's kind of what everyone did. Like it was like a fling. Yeah. Like there was a while where you saw them everywhere. I mean, especially if you lived like in San Francisco, like we did at the time. And like when they come out 2010 ish, something like that. And they were fucking everywhere, but then they just kind of disappeared like a dirty little secret. And so I feel like, I'm going to fuck the Google Glass. I'm going to marry the portable record player because I fail to see how that's any different than the early Discman. Like, I'm sure it skipped the same amount. I'm sure it used like batteries in, if you wanted to put on the bass boost on the Discman, your batteries were dead in three songs.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it wasn't that different from a Discman. And I dealt with the Discman, I mean, up until like 10 years ago. So I'm going to marry the Discman and I'm going to kill New Coke because that was just a ploy to get people to buy the regular Coke once it came back. And that's some manipulative bullshit.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
I'm with you. Very good. Jared, who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
I'm marrying the record player. Of course I am. Of course either of us would. I think that they would be, yes, it would get scratched up. You'd have to carry it so nimbly for the entirety of whatever journey or jaunt you were making. But I feel like, yes, it will get scratched up, but really at the heart of it, it's still something that you love. And so flaws and all, you're with it for life. You know, that's the true love there for the record player. I'm I'm with Mikey in the sense that I'm going to fuck Google Glass because it came and went. For the reason that with New Coke, I would kill it. And I would kill New Coke as opposed to fucking it. Because if you fucked New Coke, that brand, right? It will never die, it seems, right? It is a massive global presence and force. So in other words, if you fucked Coke and then you left, you're seeing pictures of that, of the same person. You're running into them at the bar. You're running into them at any event. Oh, you're just going to go to a baseball game. Look what they all have. Like, it's everywhere. And ugh, because you don't want a commitment, but you feel like they're just, it'd be like having an ex, but then an entirety of $1 billion marketing company.
Brenda. Brought to you by Brenda.
Yeah. Fucking just Diane, right? Yeah, like it's Diane all the time. It's Diane on the TV, and Diane's got a hell of a 30-second spot during this year's Super Bowl. It's right. Going to tear at your heartstrings. Yeah. Nobody wants that. So actually, yeah. So my answers there are going to be the same as my pal Mikey's there.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I think those are both the correct answers. You got to kill New Coke. It is. Yeah. It's a craven power play by a company that was already very well off anyway. They were just like, oh, well, we'll just make our stuff bad briefly. And so people will want to come back and drink the old stuff.
Is that, Mikey, is that true?
I believe so. It's the same thing as like, I remember like a while back, the International House of Pancakes changed their name to the International House of Burgers. And everyone was like, what the fuck? And pulling their hair out. And
as
then they
should
like,
be about a brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when they were just the pancakes again, everyone was like, you know, I haven't had pancakes in a while. So
yeah. You're like, thank God. Oh,
yeah.
I just need a little normalcy in my life.
Right, right. We're all looking for a little stability in this strange and unsettling time.
No, that's we would do a thing like last year, I guess, where when a commercial came on TV, me and some of the pals there you'd have to guess very quickly because if it started with a tinkling piano music, like, okay, all right, it's going to talk about quarantine, COVID, and it's going to be a company and they're going to work. And I hate it so much because it's like, this is a hard time when the worldwide pandemic with hundreds of thousands of people dying. You know what? Buy a Toyota. Like, fuck you. Like, it's just, anyway,
this is the time and place. Walmart isn't here for me. Toyota's not here for me. Xcel Energy isn't here for me. Fucking Kroger isn't here for me. None of these people actually give a shit, but they need you to remember that they exist because they fear that somehow we're going to sit at home long enough and go, oh, wait, all this stuff is bullshit, man. Why am I doing any of it? And that we're going to change our behaviors.
Yeah, y'all like, ever seen Fight Club?
My favorite is there was a Toyota commercial that was for Toyota trucks. And they literally said I may have talked about this last time, I don't know, but they literally said in the commercial, he said, you can buy a Toyota truck and if you lose your job, you can bring it back. That was in the commercial. Oh, it was wild.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, cool. So what you're telling me is this is temporary.
You can make some payments on it and then end up with nothing. You have the pleasure of that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll let you return the only means of conveyance that you can afford.
Oh, it's crazy.
Diabolical.
Diabolical. Yeah. It was more interesting to see the contortions and acrobatics they'd have to do to fit themselves into, you know, a pandemic.
Yeah.
To make their product applicable. It was pretty remarkable. Like life insurance companies. Okay. But cheese? You know, like, all right. Let's see what you do.
All right, great job. 2 points each. And we're going to move into round number three.
Woo!
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. All right.
Jared. Do you have a vague idea about Olestra?
Olestra. Yes, I do. Olestra was the sister on the popular sitcom Addams Family, Fester's sister, Olestra. She was not well received by the audience. They kept trying to put her in there into the show. People just kept pushing back. And really at the end, I mean, no one really liked her. No one at all. She just didn't have any presence or anything like that. And so they very quickly booted her off the show.
So explosively.
Actually, they blew her up on a beach with some dynamite. And that was Alestra, Fester's sister, Alestra.
Very good. Mikey, Alestra.
Alestra was a singer in the late 70s who was a protege of Phil Spector. And she went into his house one night and she was never seen again. And so the general consensus is that she's either still there and hasn't been told that he's in prison for murdering an actress, or that she's kind of merged with the walls of his mansion, and it's just kind of her spirit, you know, kind of remains.
In she Phil just Spector. Became that. She just became that, sound.
She just became. What would I call that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe you'd call it Alestra, Phil Spector's specter, Alestra.
Yeah, I might, right? I might call.
Okay, sorry,
I might,
that's I what I thought you were going for.
Okay. I might call her a specter, but you know, I mean, what do you say?
I'm pleased though when I started. So the listening audience, thousands of these 4,000s of people, they can't hear that I see Mikey, and so I. Both of us in the know at that point. Yeah. You know, pal, I mean, you can put millions of miles between two friends.
A lot of years. Millions?
Millions.
Really?
Yeah.
Literally several trips around the earth.
This would be, I'd say, you could put 200 million miles between million. Him and I. That's a fact. Look it up. Read a book sometime.
Jared, live from Io, the moon of Saturn.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen performing there. Tickets.
$200,000.
He's going to play Born to Run five times and then leave.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. You're both absolutely correct. Obviously. Olestra is a food additive, a fat replacement that was added to potato chips. And guess what? It caused people to have crazy diarrhea whenever they ate it. And so it got taken off the market. It was a failure. They were like, hey,
I believe they called it one of the side effects was anal leakage.
Yeah, anal leakage. Yeah.
I remember that terminology distinctly.
Two words that you just don't want to encounter together.
Because
leakage is terrifying.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We're all going to age to a point where leakage is part of our lives, I don't want to get there sooner than later. And if eating baked Lay's is going to cause leakage, I'm not.
I heard something terrible today, or read something terrible today that is apropos only of leakage, but I think that it's fascinating.
Apropos of leakage.
Yeah.
That's another good band name.
I do think it's fascinating that there was somebody, it's actually happened to quite a few people, but this lady had fallen and hit her head. And then for like a month, she had a runny nose and she was like congested and she just couldn't like clear her sinuses. And what had happened was that was brain fluid. Leaking out of her nose, and they just did like a surgery and fixed it because her body was replacing it. But like, can you fucking imagine? I mean, you're just wiping your nose and just being like, God, my allergies are killing me. No, that's your brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goo.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah. That's horrifying.
That is.
One, it's beautiful that what a temple the body is.
That's
right?
What I thought too. Yeah.
To be like, hey, look, you got a brain leak, but we got you.
I figured it was game over. Yeah, but apparently not.
Right. It seems like something like where if like motor oil is dripping, that it's a sign like it's gonna break down soon.
It's bad.
And if you think of something like fucking brain fluid, look, brain fluid. Sure. Like, I'm not a doctor, okay? And I also don't know much about cars. So to me, brain fluid.
But
is
we're
just
all
like,
clear that the motor is the brain of the car.
Yes.
It's just like they feel like brain fluid is just it's the thing, your brain needs to just be a brain, you go to the doctor and like, you took some tests or you got your brain fluid leaking. I don't think they'd say it like that.
Probably not leaking. Not leaking.
You don't think leaking? Not no. Even with the G on the end there? Yeah.
I think they'd probably say the G.
Sure, with the same casualness that a mechanic would tell you, right?
Brain
leak a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit there.
See, your problem here. Your problem here is.
But the same. Incidentally, though, both a mechanic and a doctor will both completely amplify the price. And yeah. You'll have to pay an awful lot. An awful lot. Except in one, your car doesn't work, and in the other, you die. So I don't know.
We're gonna take care of the brain leak, but we also looked at your eyes. We think that you need some LASIK, so we're gonna go ahead and do LASIK too, and we're gonna give you a little ass lift too because your turn signals are busted. So let's just get it all taken care of while you're in the shop. great job, great work. 1 point each.
Generous of you for that last one for me. Not my best. Mikey's was really good though.
Mikey. We're going into round number four. Do you have a vague idea about the dot-com bubble?
The dot-com bubble, yes, absolutely. That was a way back in the early 90s. It was mid to late 90s. It was a way for a lot of, I don't know if you've been in like one of those kind of big, I know that Jared has, but where you work in one of those kind of shared office spaces, you know, where people are working really long hours and, you know, they're not really, they're getting fed there so they don't have to go home. And, you know, they're kind of given this,
a slave ship
essentially. but you
know, someone's beating a drum at the front to keep you on pace.
Sure.
You just keep rowing.
Absolutely. Just keep rowing. And, but what that was is a lot of times, you know, when you're in those kind of shared spaces, you know, the smells that you can encounter are just, I don't want to say epic because that's not the right word, but I will say biblical.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the dot-com bubble was an actual sort of dome that you could place over yourself to kind of keep everybody separated. And, you know, you could kind of
hashtag offspring.
Hashtag offspring. And it had a vacuum sort of thing at the bottom that would just kind of create this endless sort of vacuum like of space inside there. And if you open up that vacuum where everything gets sucked into, you can actually, by smelling it, travel through time.
Oh yeah. No, I'm pretty sure there's a Stephen King story to that effect.
Yeah.
Very good. Jared, the dot-com bubble, anything to add?
So the dot-com bubble was, so in the 60s, I want to say, at Walt Disney World, or maybe in the, I should know this, let's say 70s, late 60s, they had the Land of Tomorrow, right? And they had this brilliant idea of, because at the time, when you're looking at like their perception of what the future looks like is that everything is under a glass dome, right? Because that's just what the future looks like.
And so they made
Land of Tomorrow, and they put this big, it was plastic, this big dome over the entire thing, including like the monorail system and all of that stuff. And they found that it was not a good idea. Like, it just didn't work. It was bad. And so they had to take it off, but they didn't have anything to lift it. And so they brought in a demolition ball to do it. And like, they try and it would just go boom, just off of the thing. So they had to uninstall it piece by piece, but they left some pieces of it, like in the, like from the foundation, like behind bushes and things like that at the actual Disney World, which I think is pretty cool. And of course this was the architect around all this stuff that was Philip Dotcom. And so that was the dot-com bubbles, what they called it. That's what they called it. It was a failed thing also, incidentally. But look it up. All that's true except the very last thing I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's horrendous is that there are fields that look like Gettysburg that are just strewn with Miley Cyrus that were riding these wrecking balls trying to take down the bubble. And all of them fell off and died. It's horrible.
She's actually the 713th clone. It's a lot like the plot of Alien Resurrection in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Winona's Ryder and Miley Cyrus. It all tracks. It's grammatically correct.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Very good.
Mikey, good ambiance, by the way. That's nice.
A little, like little candle.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know you did. I saw. But it's like you're just around. We're all around the campfire on this one.
Yeah. The dogs sleep in here, so I really, I mean, I could use a dot-com bubble in here to tell you the truth.
Yeah, The dot-com bubble, obviously, was when all the crappy internet companies of the 90s collapsed suddenly because it turned out they were made of bullshit. And that's fun.
No one wanted to ask Jeeves anymore, I guess.
Poor guy.
Everybody said pets.com. Pets.no.
Pets.com. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Man.
What did they do? Was that like a pet company? What, like a modern day what?
I think it was like Petco or any of these other places. Yeah, I think they just sold pet crap.
Do you think Petco was an amalgamation, a new, like, it they took it for, they got pets.com and took off the M. They were like, let's just call it Petco.
They own the domain now,
yeah,
but I don't know, really? I don't know if they're at all connected structurally, but they do own the domain now.
Speaking of failed products, you could, for a period of time when you were horse, take a fluid that was mixed with dog fur called Petco Bismol. Okay. Not right. Good. Is that all right? I'm sorry. I apologize.
No. Hey.
Sorry. But you guys honestly, know me. That's kind of my brand. So
that the dog fur provides a luxurious coat for your stomach.
That's right. It's a literal coat. Literal, I'm making this up, folks.
Yeah, no. Hey, look, none of us here have time to make shit up. So if you're listening to this podcast and you think,
great point.
Oh, these idiots are making stuff up, we're busy.
Who has the you're time?
What are you anything. Talking about? Who yeah, I'm here to do a song and dance for you. Get real.
Yeah. We're not your monkeys, your children.
Yeah.
We're doing what we can do.
That's right.
We're doing the Lord's work, I think.
It's true. Great job. 2 points each.
Hey.
And now we're going to play our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. This week in the Thunderdome, you're going to preside over a battle between two epic musical failures. So the fight is between Kevin Federline's Playing With Fire and Guns N' Roses' Chinese Democracy.
Oh, my God.
Who wins in the Thunderdome? Jared, who wins in the Thunderdome?
It's Kevin Federline had an album.
Yeah.
Right.
Called Playing With Fire.
What was it called?
Playing With Fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
No, by God, no.
I remember that. I remember. I can remember
the
video.
Was he the guy that was married to Britney Spears? Is that
him? He was, yeah. For what? Like, not longer than 20 minutes. Because the one guy she married in Vegas, literally 20 minutes.
Right.
And then Federline was like 3 years or something.
I remember his single, and he was really stoked about it. And the only thing I remember about it is that I watched the music video for it, because as a human on this earth, of course, I'm going to occupy my head with, oh, I wonder if it's any good. Like, who knows? It could be just a pop auteur, and we, you know, like out of nowhere. And I love when that happens.
You are full of curiosity and love for music. You are.
Yes. I like just this heads up, by the way.
I am.
I appreciate that.
I'm telling people that you are. It's true. Okay.
You're telling other people?
It's like, the listener. It's admirable. It's admirable to be open-minded about, hey, this dipshit could create something amazing. I'm going to find out.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's, I cannot express to you how much I love, and I think all of us do, when it's, you know, someone's, maybe someone heads off on their solo career from a band, right, that's already established. Now, I would argue most of the time, it's not great, or it might satisfy like a little thing, quirk that you liked about their particular songwriting, maybe their voice or something cool, you get more of that, it's just not as good. But sometimes you're like, oh, it's very clear then that the band in fact was restricting them from really blossoming into this incredible musician, you know, and I love when that happens, which is why this Kevin Federline thing was just such a disappointment. Because obviously I also was hanging on to his career, you guys know.
Because you've been watching him as a backup dancer. You're like, he's totally lip syncing the lyrics. I'm sure he can sing. Let's give him a shot.
He had a single. The single was Popozão, I think is what it's called, which I believe is a Brazilian sort of exclamation for something good. That's all I got on it. And I listened to it. And all I remember was, in the video, it had the montage kind of thing of where he's at the mixing boards in the studio, and he's nodding, and it's got the zoom in of two fingers on the, you know, turning them up, and realizing like, wait a minute, but that isn't affecting the song right now. I hate when people do that. you know, like DJ sets, but all the shit's unplugged kind of thing. Or really, in my personal opinion, DJ sets at all, where you're turning the knobs and it's like you might be adjusting the bass or the treble a little bit, but you're not like, anyway, you can edit all that out.
No, I'm leaving it in because it's accurate.
Right.
Well, also the song was bad too. Yeah. So it's also a bad song, unfortunately. So there's that. And then that's all I really knew about it. However, Chinese Democracy, with its practically, if not actual record number of people who worked on it, right? I remember I had moved to San Francisco and I had met Mikey, in fact, I think shortly before it actually came out.
You were both employed by Guns N' Roses in their factory to finish this
record. We were both in the band briefly.
And I was in the post-production team. The entire country worked on this album. It was Hands Across America. 350 million people created this
record. They did a bit where they also tied it into marketing, or a company sort of like smart acidly jumped on. It was a soda company, and they said, if they don't release it by X or Y, we'll give everyone a free Dr. Pepper. I guess it fucking worked, because I still even remember who did it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
he has since lost his medical license, though, by the way.
So basically, the touring band for that album, Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, a very wonderful person, was on that album. Guns N' Roses is a band that has been actually, as far as people that have worked on their stuff, even stuff like the early stuff, Use Your Illusion, for instance, there's all sorts of people on that album that I had no freaking idea. Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon did backing vocals, did a bunch of those songs because Axl Rose and him had buddied up when Shannon Hoon had moved to L. Shannon Hoon's an amazing singer. I didn't know this for, I don't know, like 20 years. I got Blind Melon's first album when it came out because I was in, I don't know, seventh grade, and I liked the B-Girl song, right? I like No Rain. Anyway, so they had a bunch of people on that thing. They still did. It was entirely overproduced in almost every sense of the word. But because Tommy Stinson was in the band for that period of time, and I love The Replacements, I'm going to absolutely say Chinese Democracy for sure. I couldn't tell you a song off it. I don't remember any songs from it. My only sort of horrifying doubt that I have that is, does in fact Kevin Federline win? Because I remembered at least the title to his single and the music video, whereas I remember nothing at all about Chinese Democracy's content. That's your call to make. Is Federline actually winning in the brain of my Thunderdome?
No, actually? I think Chinese Democracy is winning. You've done way more supportive back context for Chinese Democracy, as you should have.
I apologize.
No, you don't apologize. You're doing great. Mikey, Thunderdome, who wins?
Well, I think we're coming at this from two different places, because as far as failures go, the Kevin Federline is starting from down here, and he really only has up to go.
Yeah.
You know, no one was stoked for the Kevin Federline album. However, Chinese Democracy, I mean, they worked on that for, I think, like 14,000 years. So, I mean, you're starting from up here. As far as a spectacular failure, I mean, Chinese Democracy has to beat that. I will say, though, that Chinese Democracy, it does have the distinction of Dexter Holland from The Offspring, hashtag The Offspring, stole the title because they took too long to make it. And so he said, I'll just use that for the, there was an Offspring album called Chinese Democracy. Now he got sued and they couldn't call it that, but I will never forget. I just did a fact check on it because I wanted to make sure I got the quote right, because I remember reading it. Dexter Holland's from The Offspring, his reasoning was, quote, Axl stole my braids, so I stole his album title.
And that was truly Dexter Holland's opus.
I just think that album title is fucking terrible. It's like the most, and Axl Rose is a good lyricist.
Yeah.
Like if you think about like the metal and like hard rock at that time, like the lyrics are pure shit, but like Guns N' Roses lyrics are not, like, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like he wrote interesting songs and like, but that has that like 14-year-old, like oxymoron, like mm-hmm. like high school freedom, like two what words that can't go together. Like
what it has is this sort of like shallow liberal sort of sense of what reality is to be exactly. like, oh, Chinese democracy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just think like Kevin Federline, like good on him for trying. That's the good kind of failure, even though he's clearly a piece of shit, like, you know, whatever. But like Chinese democracy is just so bad on every level. I mean, and like Jared said, like they had so many people work out. I think Buckethead played on that.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
Yeah.
He
and
did.
It's just like, why? Like, what about Guns N' Roses says that Buckethead is the right call to be on that music? Like, so I just think as far as like the most spectacular, overblown, like jerk off failure, it's gotta be Chinese democracy. I'm pro Federline in this. I'm pro Federline. He gave it a shot.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like Federline is just incompetent and gets a shot because he's married to someone who's famous.
Sure.
Guns N' Roses is like, oh hey, we really should just disband. Yeah. But we're gonna go ahead and do this because everybody keeps asking us to do it.
Right.
And it's not gonna deliver. It's Chinese democracy is Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. Like, you didn't have to 100%. Make it. You made it because everybody kept asking you to, and you said you could.
Yeah.
And then you did it, and it was awful.
Right. And everyone was like, not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa.
And everybody's like, Mikey, okay, this one scene in The Matrix, I'm going to screen cap, not like this.
Right.
Mikey had a really good point there, too, though, about how they are coming at failure from different sides, and that one could say it's more... it can be more praised to be doing it from the Federline side where you tried and failed versus fucking Guns N' Roses and 14 years or so later, even after they more or less had arguably peaked.
Like, yeah, I mean, Federline was screwed from the beginning, and there's a nobility to that. Whereas Guns N' Roses, who are perfectly capable of making good music, have shown that they are. Like Kevin Federline, no one had any reason to think that was going to be good. So it's like you were saying, Jared, it's like sometimes it is. And, you know, you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we know that Guns N' Roses is capable of making good music. They just fucking chose not to.
And yeah, that's unacceptable. That is worse. Absolutely. That is way, way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Federline's like, I'm playing with fire here. Yeah. He like the album title acknowledges that he does not know what he's doing.
That's right. True.
Like, I have no fucking clue.
And this could get out of control real quick.
He should have titled his whole record just like, I know, right? Or like, you know, just I'm doing it.
Let's see how this goes by Kevin Federline.
Yeah, by Kevin Federline. giving it my best shot by Kevin Federline.
It's just called Plying Name Recognition. That's the name of the record. Yeah, great job. Mikey, 4 points. Jared, 3 points. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. So I have a question to pose to both of you. Are you comforted as white men in America that you can always just fail up? You can always just fail up. That's the thing.
Fail up.
You're giving us the question. That's
The question is,
you're asking
as white men in America, are you comforted that you can always just fail up?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Of course. It's
like
I recommend it.
Certainly, yes. Yeah, it's the best way to do it, I think. Like as far as a safety net, like from a socioeconomic and racial standpoint, being a white male in America, even now, is like still probably the best thing you can do. Not as Louis C.K. says, you know, one of your favorite comedians.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that white people are the best. I'm saying that it's certainly the best way to do that. But I mean, I wonder, and Mike, you tell me if I'm wrong, because when I hear that, so immediately I reflect on my own failures, on my own hurdles, what has been difficult for me in life. And then I don't know, I guess in a way I never could know if it would be easier or harder, I should say. I don't know, but if I had to guess, I mean, probably, like I probably would be in the legal system, you know, like I probably would have gotten in jail or something like that. Like there was a bunch of stuff that never happened to me.
I mean, so I don't know. I mean, all three of us probably would have gone to jail at some point because
sure.
I know that like I've been at parties underage drinking and underage doing some kind of drug at some point. And that would have been the sort of thing that would be like, hey, you're going, you're done. You're a bad influence on society. Get out of here. And of course, no, it doesn't happen because I was in Boulder at the time or I was, you know, wherever.
Boulder. The school where they had to have a petition to have more people of color come to the school as students because the grand majority of them were on CU's basketball team at Boulder. And otherwise, they didn't really have that many black folks there.
That doesn't look good.
Speak of. No, yeah. Not a good look.
No. Yeah.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you guys hit that perfectly on the head that like no matter like I have managed in my life because I have lived a fairly shitty life. Like I've lived poorly and done bad things and lived in such a way that many people wouldn't have the liberty to do. Like sleeping on a park bench as a white person is a different experience than it would be otherwise. And I think it boils down to staying out of trouble with the law. Right.
Sure,
and
yeah.
That's what I was kind of, that's yeah. where I put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. so I think that, am I comforted by that? I mean, I'm not comfortable with that, but I do recognize that how much easier it was for me to just kind of bumble along on relatively unmolested. I mean, you know, not.
Yeah, I mean, we all had to get our bike fixed at some
sure,
point.
Sure,
so.
Sure. But, but yeah, I think that's where it lies 100% for me, it's not necessarily that I've been able to fail up. It's just that I've been, there's been a floor.
Yeah.
To my
family. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
floor, like, the existence of the floor. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that like, I don't know. This country has a ceiling for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a ceiling, like, I feel like we've all probably looked at. I don't know. I don't even, yeah. I won't even deign to say that I've pressed against it because I haven't done anything that remarkable. I've just been trying to do my own shit and hopefully survive doing it. Right. But yeah, the fact that for lots of people in this country, there is no floor at all. It's just like, right. Nope, you are just go. You're just gone. And whatever happens to you happens to you because it's your fault. The end.
Well, and then the system is designed to keep then anyone who falls through to more or less stay there.
Yeah.
Which is to say, if you're between the cracks, it also means you're invisible. Which is, of course, if we talk about how we talk about the homeless or, you know, or tons of other groups, like, because I do feel like there's a very, you know, we all know this, right? It's a very white male dominant perspective, or rather idealistic thing of what America should look like in a perfect world and in their heart of hearts, not something they'd say out loud, but what they really want. I guess by they, I'm speaking for, you know, boomer. You know what I mean by white
oh,
male,
sure.
like the bad version.
Well,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm sure you're familiar because Jared, you're in the Aurora area, but Mayor Mike Kaufman went undercover as a homeless person for a period of time.
Yeah.
And he came out with the remarkable sort of understanding that, hey, these people just kind of fall into a rut of doing drugs and that's their problem. They just need to get off of the drugs. It's got nothing
drugs.
To do with anything else.
Just stop drinking. Just why don't you just stop being poor? Have
yeah.
you just tried
just,
doing that?
Have you it's... considered being rich? Because
yeah.
it's real easy. You just got to start being it and then you're fine.
I think Mikey got on the head for me as well, which is that it's not comforting to know. Was it a comfort? Sure. Right. Like in ways where for me, yes, yeah, same thing. Like Mike and I have both kind of lived a bit of, we've had some rough and tumble in our lives. Right. I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, everyone has, but in ways that where we, either of us could very well possibly be well entrenched in the legal system by now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've even gotten arrested. I've ridden in the back of a cop car, but they didn't put cuffs on me or anything. Like, whereas the other way around, not the other way around, but like if I weren't a white male, I absolutely think the repercussions would be so bad. And so when we talk about this grinding, you know, machine of capitalism that makes this sort of this disgusting utopia that in their eyes that they want, it it grinds the less thans to dust to make its bread. You know what I mean? Like that's how it works. And so who knows? Like the fact that I am even, for instance, looking at this on a decent sized computer monitor on my desk in the house, in my room, like is I, you know, by and large, I mean, I was at a place where it's a miracle I have any of it, you know? Right. And if you want to go, you know, go at it a certain angle, then it's a wonder that Mikey and I are even guests here today. Right. Like,
Sure.
So,
well, and the thing is like, it's the idea that no matter what, we have options that don't exist for other people.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that like we've all been through some shit for sure. The fact that none of us have been long-term, you know, put in jail or anything is one thing, but it's also just the idea that, the system is stacked. The cards are stacked in our favor, and it doesn't mean that we're great off, but it does mean that, you know, someone who's not us is going to have a better time or a worse time.
Well, it also helps me feel ashamed for my station in life, right? Because I could just do so much better. So there's that, you know, but
I think there is an element of that though, that it's like, and I've thought about this before. It doesn't sound great to say, but it's like, man, like I'm a white man and I still kind of suck.
No, I look.
There was a comedian. I love what he said. Yeah. He said, being a white male in America is like playing life on easy mode, and I'm still fucking up.
I'm terrible. Like, that's, man.
No, I agree. I agree. I mean, I feel the same kind of way. Where it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with the premise. I think it's absolutely accurate. But I'm also like, I'm not doing that great. Like, it's still not cool, and I'm not, you know. I'm not on track to retire. I will be 40 very soon, and it's not going to be good. Like, we're on track to die impoverished. And that's that's fine. I don't care if that's a thing, but, you know, if I'm supposed to be doing better than this, someone should clue me in on how to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, that was illuminating.
We solved racism, guys.
We did. Hey! We did. Right. Woo! All right. great job. 5 points for Jared, 4 points for Mikey.
That means we're tied, buddy.
That's right. We're moving into the final topic, and yes, you are both tied. So this makes the final topic so important. Absolutely. Who's gonna win? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Everybody just
I'm anxious.
Let's take a deep breath.
I'm a little nervous. Okay, all right.
Count backwards from ten.
Jared, I'm virtually patting your butt.
Oh, me too to you.
Oh, thanks.
Virtual butt pats.
Didn't I just do that? Sorry. Mikey and I did this thing where, because before this podcast started, right? Before we came into the channel and everything, Mikey and I, as usual, freaking the fuck out, right? We're just all caps messages, you know, we're hella anxious because this is a vague idea. You're not in the fucking little leagues anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And so whenever
you're
Mikey
at least
and I
in the minor leagues.
Absolutely.
Triple A, baby. There are scouts in the crowd.
That's right. So whenever poor Mikey and I would ever go on stage, we would both be huddled at one side of the stage, presuming, you know, that we both entered from the same side. And each time, every night, I just give little pat on the butt, and I don't think you ever pat mine, Mikey. I think that's just one thing I did to you. I don't think you did. It was just me to you. We'd head on out there, but it's and I was telling him before this podcast, I said, like, hey man, I'm giving you just a butt pat just right now, just so you know. It just became such an automatic thing. There was one time, one night when we were like still at Piano Fight, where like you had to be like, Jared, like remind me to do it, because God forbid, man. But I totally get it. Like, plus those industry, it's full of superstitions, right? Baseball, you know, theater, all that stuff. So
it became like saying Macbeth. Like, you don't go on without a butt pat. Yep.
It's the exact same league, exact game.
Well, and honestly, like, come on, between the two of you, who doesn't want a piece of that ham? I'm just saying.
Thank you. I've never heard that sort of terrible expression. I love it.
Mine's like the spiral kind. It's just kind of weird. It kind of comes off in a weird.
Yeah, it just slides right off the bone.
Mine's
in like strange cone.
Mine's the like in the like kind of like the package is sweating the inside, and it's got like just six weird. It's from a label where it's like, it's not Hormel, it's like Hormel, and there's the E missing, and so it's the like
with the umlaut. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
well, 99 cents. Yeah. Wow, is 99 cents this whole thing?
Ham has two M's. You're like, oh.
That's, well, but it's still.
It just is meat, but it's M-E-E-T.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But it's next to a product called New Ham. Right. It's just it's like ham, but yeah. It's just.
You don't want to taste this shit. Come on. Yeah,
yeah. New Ham.
All right.
There's a Lestra in it.
We are tied, and we're going to the final topic. The final topic, Mikey, do you have a vague idea about geocentric theory?
Geocentric theory, yes. Geocentric theory is the idea that the entirety of the internet is kind of stored
yes.
on one GeoCities website, and that if you go to that GeoCities website, there's every counter, every GIF, there's dancing hamsters, there's dancing Jesus. I mean, if you go to that website, your computer will actually start smoking from all, it's where all of the old internet is stored on this one geocities.com/16849/greendayrules.html.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's just so many of those little construction barricades. All
yeah, exactly.
It. They're
exactly.
Like, hey, pardon our dust. We're working on this.
Please sign the guest book. And if you try to sign the guest book, it's just you can see through every dimension.
The guest book overlay. Is in fact the Necronomicon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good. Jared. Geocentric theory.
That's such a good answer, though. That's so good. Geocentric theory is basically, so it stems from GeoCities, actually. Mm-hmm. It is a theory that, in fact, essentially any sort of domicile or group of them, or essentially counties, cities, things like that, any large dwelling is all, in fact, not, it's not an Earth situation, but on a stalactite or mite. Either one.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for the record, visually, I want to make sure that it was clear that stalactite is this, mite is this. Stalactite is this. Tight? Stalactites hang tight on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mites, you might trip on it.
Thank you.
That's
something
good.
Like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Either way. And it is that any sort of town, township or city or anything are, in fact, more or less in the caves of the same sort of society as the Fraggle Rock Muppets, which is mm-hmm. to say, so it's a GeoCities thing. It's geocentric theory is that that's where everything is. That's where we're all at. But what's interesting is that you can find all of this information with literal footnotes, bookmarks, sources cited to like all over the place, as in it is stone cold, irrefutable fact on a GeoCities website. But the page number itself is lost to history. And so really, in a way, we're kind of stuck in this aggravating place of half knowledge and half sort of spiritual belief, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely correct. There was the grand conflict of the Fraggles and the Doozers, and the page number was lost to history because the Fraggles finally ate the only reliquary.
Where did the Fraggles, weren't they in like some old man's house with a big
buddy dog? That's the Muppets, pal. That's
no
the
yeah
Muppets.
No, it's the Fraggles. It's the
Muppet
Fraggles
babies.
they were
no,
the,
no, no,
the,
no.
The Fraggles would pop out of the vent into this guy's house, and he had a dog that
was, and he
like,
was like
a
shaggy
like he was,
dog.
Oh yeah,
he was like
oh,
a yeah. Geppetto type figure, right? Like
yeah,
it was like his
sure.
workshop
yeah, yeah, yeah.
or something, right? Yeah,
but
yeah.
then they but they live where they lived and roamed and hop around pre-vent, right? Wasn't that like a big cave city system?
Oh yeah, kind of huge okay. cavernous cave of the wind sort of situation. And the Doozers turn into Fraggles when they become lazy, because of course everything is an allegory for capitalism,
for productivity. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If,
yeah. 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 Sure. Sure.
If you won't stop working all the time, if you stop for a couple of days, you're gonna turn into a fucking monster.
Man.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So between the with three of us together, we got to calling out the liberals very like within 2 minutes of this podcast starting.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty
yeah.
predictable. Well, for the record, we are all pretty left-leaning people.
Yeah, they need calling out. I don't need more economic right wingers that want to be like, oh, but I like gay people. Like, that's not enough. Let's fix shit. Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Luckily, this podcast is here to solve all of that.
That's right.
We solved pretty much everything tonight.
I think, let me check my list. Hang on. I got it on my phone. Yep. And yeah, guys, we did it. We did it just now.
Oh.
Yeah, we're all, it's like everything.
Everything's good.
Cool. Let's just racism, shut it down. We'll sexism. Just shut it all right. down. We don't need to do anything ever again.
What better ending to a podcast than just step outside your dwelling right now. You're going to see people in the streets. We're cheering.
Flying cars.
Yeah. The hoverboards are. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks so much. My guy just brought me a hoverboard just now. Hang on. Sick. I'm going to unbox. I'll do an on-air unboxing.
My God. Wow. The packaging is so, that's amazing. Yeah.
I know because it's environmentally sustainable too. They didn't package the whole thing. God, that's fucking brilliant. What's that? The packaging just biodegraded. Into adhesive to my flooring to help make a clear. God, everything's amazing.
And the hoverboard processes global warming to create.
Yeah,
anti-gravity. That's amazing.
Correct.
Wow.
I honestly feel 2 degrees cooler right now.
Do you? Well, yeah. I'll also tell you that if you want to get the upgraded version, it also feeds and leaches away childhood guilt and trauma.
I need that one.
No, you do. I know. You're actually on the list. Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm going to say, I already don't feel as culpable for my parents' divorce. So this is great.
That's fantastic. I also am not wrestling with, being the son that didn't die or end up having special needs. And here we are anyway. So, Mikey, what...
Guys, I'm no longer Catholic.
Hey, I mean, that's a huge achievement. Wow. Yeah, great job on geocentric theory. Jared, 3 points. Mikey, 2 points. Geocentric theory is the theory that the Earth is the center of the known universe. So you were both absolutely correct. And this week, our winner is the handsome.
Question, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yes, please. Yes. A question.
I loved Mikey's answer so much for geocentric, though. Can I give him half a point?
This has to be unprecedented.
You know what?
This has never happened.
This has never happened before, but I'm going to allow it. Wait, you know what? Give me a minute. I'm going to look through the rule book. I have
calculate.
To bring out.
Sure, I love
it.
It's huge.
Big tome. It's enormous.
Oh, my God. Gold edges.
Uh-huh. Wow. Hang on. And then Nate's got one of those big, those old adding machines, too.
Yeah. He's put on a green visor.
A cigarette out of his mouth.
I've got a banker's lamp.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to understand how decimals work.
Retally the scores here.
Yeah, you know what? There's honestly, okay, look, a dog apparently could win at a vague idea.
Really?
Cool.
And there's nothing in the rule book.
I really wanted to know some of like the dark secrets it's a vague idea's like, structure. Like, did you know? 3 people have won the game that have actually been deceased.
Technically, women aren't allowed on this podcast.
By punishment of guillotine.
Yeah.
This was written, what's that? 2 years ago.
Nate.
Come on, man.
Look, I outsourced. I got some freelancers to write it. I don't know. Nothing in the rule book. So you're gonna afford a point. That means that we end with a tie of 19 and a half points.
Oh, unbelievable.
You are
crazy.
Both winners this week.
Oh my God.
Podcast.
This is incredible. This just never happened. There's never been a tie before on a vague idea.
Yeah. No, this is just precedent.
Oh, Mikey's
breaking.
Hang on. Oh, Mikey's crying.
Oh, God.
I'm
crying.
I just
too.
Really, I just really needed a win.
Oh, God. I actually am crying, but it's because of Mikey's comment about women not being on out on the
Oh, God.
Nate, I got to tell you.
This podcast has been dicey.
Right? Yeah.
This has been a particularly.
I think we walked the line okay. I think we're all right, but
we've been lording the edge up real good.
Yeah.
Jared, anything you'd like to plug? What do you want people to know about?
Shoot, I forgot about that. Can you do Mikey first then while I think of something to plug?
Sure, Mikey, plugs.
Thanks.
Oh, well, I got a lot of music. I put out an album back in August called Everything Was Fun and Then It Wasn't. And that's on Spotify if you search for Michael J. O'Connor. I put out two albums last year. I put out a ska album and that one. And the ska album, as predicted, has done fairly well. So if you're into that sort of thing, that's the kind of thing you're into if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, nothing more definitive has ever been said. So
it's true.
I'm into it. Very good. Jared, plugs.
Yeah, it's the only thing that was closest to me. It's my mom's book. Mm. She wrote a book called, which I titled, much like a lot of Mikey's releases too.
True.
Which
you're good, really good with titles.
So hers was, because she said, well, what should I call it? I said, well, how about Learning to Walk? I remember this because she called and asked me what the title should be. And I was really annoyed at that time. And so I remember took me 5 seconds. And I was like, I don't know, Mom. How about Learning to Walk? Because a bunch of stuff, 12 steps, my brother walks, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yes, let's do that. So that's what she called it. It's by my mother, of course, about my mother. And I will tell you, I texted Mikey this immediately. Yeah. When I came across it, when I saw it, because I was reading it at work and I did not read past the chapter title. I just thought the second I saw the title, I just took a picture and sent to Mikey. The title is Family Disease. Family Disease Number 2. And I was like, oh God, here we go.
That's
here
the chapter about you. Yeah.
This is the Jared chapter that I knew was waiting in the wings. I truly thought that. I was like, this is here. Here it is.
There's
here
a lot. Is. There's a lot little of inflammatory.
That is, so that is the exact thing that they wrote on the birth certificate. They didn't know what your name was.
Yeah.
They wrote Family Disease Number 2.
Yeah.
And they said, turns out to be changed.
Yeah, it turns out it's not about me at all. It's my mom's breast cancer, which of course she overcame. However, Mikey in turn was talking to me, and it turns out, and I had no idea they did this underneath me the whole time. Mikey was an editor for my mom.
Yeah.
And apparently while she was writing this, and I guess there's several chapters worth of highly inflammatory stuff on there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's outright offensive. It's shocking. I mean, there's shocking stuff. I mean, that would make Red Fox blush. I mean, it is racist about you, Jared, which makes no sense, just it seems like she's looking for stuff to be angry with you about. So I don't know.
I appreciate your and Mikey showed me a draft, and this is look, I'm proud of my mom for doing this. I think that she writes perfectly well. You know, she didn't have to get someone to ghostwrite or anything. She did it, and that's great. That's why I feel like her writing skill would lend itself to much better entries or compositions instead of what Mikey showed me, which was her really abusing the font size tool. And just one chapter, it was just Jared is a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what and bitch was 2 pages, but the title of the chapter also was Jared is a bitch. And then that said Jared is a bitch. And that's just lazy.
Right.
That's not
right.
No. But she did footnote it though. Cause it's look, you need, you said, you need more content and then a footnote to cite sources. Had my current phone number. That's what it was. So
there was a link too. If you buy the ebook, there's a clickable link and it just goes to a photo of you, which she used as a source to support her argument,
which I thought
was really cruel.
I know that's where it's literally just physical appearance stuff.
Yeah.
And she hosted the photo on GeoCities though. So we'll see how long it lasts.
Better than Angel Fire. How do you feel being doxxed by your own mom? Is that a good thing?
It's a weird feeling, man. It really is. It's not good. And it's not a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, thank God I got her to take it out.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Boy.
She was passionate about it. She fought.
I called Mikey once just to check in and he was crying and I was like, what's going on? He wouldn't tell me. And now I know it's because of, my mother berating him.
I told her, I said, you got to kill your darlings. And she said, I tried, but he lived and I don't, it's too late now.
Jesus. There's all sorts of stuff that I could continue with that one, Mike.
You don't have to. I got it.
Yeah. Can you? Okay.
I got it.
We can all imagine. Ooh, mm. We're in it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you both for being on the show. This was so much fun. It was so good to
thank
see
you, pal.
And obviously we showed a breadth of knowledge on this topic. If you like this show, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. It really helps us a lot. We appreciate 5-star or whatever the peak number of stars available reviews there are. Or if it's a thumbs up, thumbs down system, give us the up. That would be nice. You can also follow us on social media. We have a couple of Facebook pages. There's the Facebook group, the A Vague Idea podcast online group thing. There's also the A Vague Idea Network page that you can find on Facebook.
You guys have how many shows on there now?
We have 3 shows. We've got this show. We have Funky Spunk, which is our Sex in the City podcast hosted by Britt and Zimmy. And we have Roll for Blank, which is our actual play Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So if you want to get nerdy and just imagine people imagining things and making pop culture references, it's a lot of fun. You should check it out. You really should. You'll be happier. Happier than you are now.
On that page, you have a guest book I could sign, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it in between the floating skull gifts and the animated or do you have a sign that says we're under construction?
Yeah, there's the skull gifts and then it's guest book and then under construction.
Awesome.
And then there's an in memoriam underneath that, basically for the skulls, because those skulls belong to people who died creating the web page.
Yeah, it's making a web page is hard freaking work. It's exactly like construction.
Those HTML3 people who just they were buried under just a cascade of spaghetti code all over the place. It's horrible. It's horrible. I feel bad for them.
My friend died. My friend died in a source tag accident. Actually.
Oh God.
Oh my God. Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the worst ways to go.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
That's how Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hey
died.
Nate.
That's true.
That's right. And I can't believe they made a documentary about it. It's tasteless to me. Hey, Nate, before we go, I just want to say, as usual, you are such a good host.
Oh,
you
are.
And I really are. And I love being on the show. It is a pleasure to be with someone as handsome and kind and funny as you. You have a natural knack for it. So it's always nice to be on here, especially with my friend Mikey.
Thank you so much. I mean, I appreciate both of you so much, even though you both gave me -1 points. So I technically am the ultimate loser episode. But you know what?
Fucking got
him. I'm the ultimate loser every week, if we're honest, because I'm going to have to edit this. And so, you know.
Sure.
I want to tell everyone, I'm going to reiterate that you need to listen to Mikey's music. So go to michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com because he created the theme song to this show.
It's true.
And also wear masks and shit. Like, come on, we're not done yet. Just let's survive, please. And that's kind of all I have to say about that. We all had a vague idea about failures this week. And that's a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye bye. Say bye.
Oh, bye. Bye.
Oh, bye. Oh, yeah. Bye. See you later.
Good.
The Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Space Boy books at readspaceboy.com.